I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That is my reading lesson this morning. And, you know, I've heard much that's been said, I guess, on this topic of the 9/11 anniversary, 10-year anniversary from when all these tragic things happened, buildings knocked down by these planes, and so many people lost their lives, and, you know, it's been mentioned already this morning, you know, that it seemed like it was a time that there was a lot of people that turned to God. You know, they turned to God for help, for strength, for uplifting, and for direction. You know, what am I going to do? You know, what, my husband was killed, or my wife was killed, or my husband, you know, for the children, you know, both their parents may have been killed in these things. And, you know, the look for help and for direction and for guidance in all these things that went on. And, you know, I feel that it was a great thing. There was a lot of outpouring of love. There was a lot of outpouring of help from, I guess, from everywhere, from all over the United States to share in their losses, and there still is today with all the things that's going on this. You know, there's still a great outpouring for the loss of those lives, and to try to help and to do and whatever they can do. And I think that is a great thing. But, you know, also, I guess my thought this morning, it started a war, and it started a war for all the things that had happened to us. We retaliated, and my thought this morning is basically about forgiveness. And the forgiveness that we as God's people are supposed to have in our hearts in such situations and times. You know, there are a lot of, I guess there's a lot of things that was done, but there was a lot of anger. And there's a lot of also vengeance, and a lot of things that is happened because of those things. We need to be careful as God's people that we don't have a vengeful mind and a vengeful heart towards situations and things, we can find time after time in here how that the church was persecuted and how horrible things was done to it, and yet the instruction was given to them and to rejoice in the Lord and to do good. You know, you think about all the things that's gone on, and I feel that we have a right and an obligation to protect our country. Don't get me wrong. I was in the Army myself, and I feel a duty and an obligation to protect this country. I feel that it is right in God's eyes that we protect the freedoms that we have here. I believe that this country was set upon on God and upon the freedoms that we have today here. God is the reason for that. And I believe whatever cost that we need to protect that, I truly do. But everything we're directed is done in a right manner and in a right way. And it was done that way in the Bible that we read through a thing in Sunday school this morning that seemed like it hit very well in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Christy read this morning, and I'm going to read it again. It says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I believe that there has, even though it was a horrific thing that happened, I believe that there was a lot of evil that was overcome by good. I believe the prayers of people in this country. I believe that the prayers of the church for those people. I believe that there was prayers went out to them that specifically for them. And I believe God heard that. And I believe that that it was that way. But, you know, there's also so much vengefulness in our society, wanting to take things in our own hands and to do things the way that we want to do them and the way that we see fit to do them. And we need to know as a people of God that it's important that God be in control. You know, we can go through the Old Testament and we can find time after time after time how God's people, when the Lord allowed things to happen to God's people, He allowed forces to come in and overtake them. The Pharaoh kept Israel in captivity for 400 something years, and the Romans came in and they kept people in captivity and and slavery and bondage and all these different things, and he allowed God's people to triumph over each and every adversity and everything when they followed and did what he wanted them to do. He took control. Every battle that they went into, they would go into, and when they would put that ark in front, when they put the Lord in front, the Lord would fight their battles for them, and he would take care of them. I believe that the Lord directs in a direction the way he wants it done, because he wants the people to turn to him, to look to him for the direction and for the guidance. You know, and it goes as big as war in these situations, and as small as making a decision for your life. It's all the same thing, that God wants the command, he wants the direction, in whatever we do. He expects to have the command. Christ is the head of the church, and he expects to have the command and the head of this church. He expects to direct it and to guide it in everything that we do. And then if we step out on our own and do something that is not in accordance with his will or something that's not pleasing in his eyes, then there's going to be trouble. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be repercussions for not doing it, for not seeking God's way and doing it the way that we want to do it, taking control. And I know most of us have seen how that's affected many churches, how when man has taken over and started to lead and do and direct and do as they wanted to do, we've seen, I know many of us have seen the repercussions of that by not allowing Christ to be the head of the church. Well, it's the same thing with our lives. And you think about forgiveness and how, I was just thinking about, it's a simple thought this morning, and I didn't know if I would have very much to say even, but how God wants us to be a forgiving, loving people. I know that we are, I guess, viewed or classified or looked at as a strict people. We're strict, we're stern. It's like, look, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. We're strict, we're rigid. We have a church covenant that we covenant together to follow and do. And we're strict and rigid about everything that we do. And we've got many times so much that projection to the world that we're so strict and so rigid that people possibly won't come in. They don't want to be a part of that strictness and that rigidness. We need to let also family members and loved ones. We've got so many family members and loved ones that are not in this church for one reason or another. I don't know what it is. The Lord knows, and it's between them and the Lord. If they're doing wrong, they need to get it right between them and the Lord. But they also need to know that we got a love in our hearts and a forgiveness about us that we want them to come back and get themselves right with the Lord. We need to have forgiving hearts. We need to be able to forgive and not hold grudges and not look down upon people that possibly have done wrong. And there may be people that have done wrong and they've repented and they've made it right with God, and yet they still don't feel comfortable in God's house because they feel that God's people are still judging them, are still looking down upon them, and they don't feel comfortable in the Lord's house even. And that's not right. It can't happen that way. Everybody that comes through those doors need to know that we love them and we care about them. No, we may not love the sins in their life. We may not like how they do things, but they need to know that we love them and that we care about them. I'm not just talking about the pastor either or the deacons. I'm talking about every member in this church. That we step out sometimes, maybe, and reach out. Try to reach out and let them know that, look, if you've done something wrong, we'll forgive you. Get these things right with the Lord. We'll forgive you. We love you. We want you back. You need to be back here. And we do. And they do. We need God's people in God's house. We do. They may, now I know there's a lot of different things that we could look at this morning, and there is a lot of things. You know, it talks about, I read about in last week about, remember that model prayer that the Lord left us to have? In the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Forgiveness is a vital part, should be a vital part of your being, of who you are. If you're a saved person, forgiveness should be a vital part of your being, of what you are. A part of your prayer life is forgiveness. Asking God to forgive you for the sins, for the things that you've done wrong, and to forgive others. You know, it's a vital part of us. Rather than so many times that judgmental attitude that we have acquired. This rigid appearance, which, yes, we are rigid. And yes, there is a strictness to us. And I don't want to take away from any of that. But my point, my focus this morning is the forgiveness in our hearts. How we're supposed to forgive one another. And, you know, there's some more verses I'll get to over here in just a minute. Instruction in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew is speaking to, I believe Jesus was speaking to the church, and, you know, you think about things, it says, "More if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go to him and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You know, if there's a fault, if somebody's got trouble between themselves, do they get mad? Do they get vengeful? Do they judge them? Many times it's happened that way. I'm afraid it has. I'm afraid so many times that we have taken upon ourselves is to be judge, jury, and executioner rather than to be loving and forgiving and trying to reach them, to bring them back. Go to thy brother. And this is speaking of someone that has sinned, that has done sin, that has done wrong, and it's something that you know about and that it's offended you maybe. But for their sakes, see, but for their sakes, go to them. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Take somebody else. Try to get their attention. Try to help them out. Don't try to say that we're going to put you in jail if you don't do what we tell you to do. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two shall agree upon earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. These things, I mean, it has a great weight to it, the things that we do in church. God, Christ, laid this out as a way to reach those that are without, those that have sinned, and it's a guideline that he's given us, but it has to be done with love and forgiveness. If you read on a little further here in verse 21 and verse 22, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" How many times, Lord, do I, if my brother sin against me, if somebody does something to me, how many times am I just supposed to forgive him before I turn my back on him, before I try to be bring vengeance upon him, before I try to do something to get him to open his eyes? How many times? Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven." Which basically that means as many times as he offends you and he comes to you and asks for forgiveness, that you forgive him. See, I believe there's a, you know, when a preacher stands up in the pulpit and he speaks of repentance to a church, and they get a lot of glassy-eyed looks and like, "Who, me? What have I done? Why are you preaching this?" There's a lot of things that, you know, I guess that can be said. I don't know about y'all, but when I go to the Lord for repentance all the time. I repent every day. I ask the Lord to forgive me every day. I pray that the Lord forgive me for the things that I did that I don't even know that I did, because I know I've done something. I know I've done things. It's so hard for us to fathom in our mind that we've done something wrong. We have so much pride in our lives for us to think that there's anything that we could have offended anybody about, or especially done something wrong, but I don't know if our standards is as high as the Lord's is. It's important that, you know, we remember that Christ died to pay for all of our sins. He knew us from the foundation of the world. He knew exactly what we was going to be. God knew us all from the foundation of the world, and He sent His Son anyway. He knew that we was all going to be sinners. He knew that we was not going to be worthy of anything. But He loved us that much that He sent His Son to die on a cross, that when we looked to Him, that we trust in Him for that finished work on the cross, when we repent, He forgives us. He forgives us of those sins. He saves our soul. He puts a peace in our heart. Now, can we continue to sin? Absolutely. Apostle Paul said, if you say that you have no sin, then you lie to yourselves. Anybody in here today, if you say that you have no sin in you and that you don't sin, that you lie to yourselves. We're still in this fleshly body. You know, it's a serious thing to turn someone out of the church. So serious. Basically, it tells about turning them over to Satan is the way that the Bible puts it. Now, it's sin. Example, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and this is Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. It's fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, be present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one into Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a serious thing, isn't it? Delivering someone. And that's what the Bible says. And I truly believe with all my heart that when we turn somebody out of the church, if it's a reason that is, if it's right, if we do it in the right way, in the manner that God would have it to be, then that we are turning that person out into the world, and that they we've delivered them to Satan for their destruction. That's a serious thing. That should be a last case scenario. Last ditch effort right there. You've tried everything else that you know to do. We've all done everything that we know to do. We put forth all the effort and all the prayer and all the time and all the things that we needed to do. We've let them know that we love them and we will forgive them if they make things right with the Lord. They have to know that. They have to know that. I wonder if, you know, I probably made mention before that, and I started to say this a minute ago, when repentance is brought up in church, you know, when I was growing up, when it was brought up, there was people got under conviction. They knowed for one reason or another, whatever it might have been, that they wasn't living right before God, that they wasn't doing right before God. And they need to get it right. I've seen them go to the altar. I've seen them stand up, apologize to the church. I've seen them do a lot of things because they know they needed to make right. If they had a note, a fault, or something against a brother or sister, they would go hug them and tell them they loved them, that they forgive them, they were sorry. Whatever the situation might be. You know, and I've seen those services, and they were so cleansing and so loving and so good, and the power of the Lord come down upon them and He blessed those services. We don't have those anymore. We don't have them anymore. And it's the same spirit. I'm not going to say anybody's any better than anybody else anymore either. That there is no repentance. It's just we don't do it. We don't openly, I'll put it that way, we don't openly show our repentance and our love and our forgiveness. We just don't do it. I don't know why. I don't know why. Because I don't think we've changed. Over in the book of 1 John, it says, chapter 1, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If we say that we hadn't, you know. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. God is always there to forgive, to help us. He's always faithful. He's always just. He always wants to forgive us. He always wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to draw near to Him, to be more like Jesus. You know, You think about Stephen when he is out there being stoned. Just, we can go through, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Jesus standing there hanging on the cross. Father, forgive me. The forgiveness that was in a lot of these. You can turn back over, and I thought of one when I was studying. You know, you think about Joseph and the life that he went through. As a young boy, his brothers took him out and threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Told his father that he is dead. Came on up, went through life, and it wound up. He loved them. He cared for them. He forgave them. He blessed them. He fed them and kept their lives. Forgiveness is a big part of what we should be about. Forgiveness. We know people, everybody does stuff wrong. I do stuff wrong. You do stuff wrong. We've got to be big enough to admit it. Get it cleaned up and go on. Because when, you know, have you ever heard the saying that you just keep piling stuff up? You keep pushing those sins behind you and piling them up and piling them up. It's going to be a hill one of these days that you can't get over. There's going to be a little hill that you just ain't going to get across, and you're going to have to get this stuff cleaned up. And I tell you what, I've had to do it. I know, personally, I've had to do it. I've had to stand up in front of the church, and I've had to ask the church to forgive me, and not knowing if they would. But they did. They did. I'm thankful for it. And I tell you what, that was a cleansing feeling that I got that day too. I truly felt that I could step a little higher, walk a little straighter now. I have to walk with my head down so much because I was embarrassed. I was thankful to that. It was an ease. It was a cleansing that only God can do. Only God can give you. That's my message today. I pray that we have that attitude. We have that heart. You know? Please never, ever, ever be ashamed to stand up and ask for forgiveness because you're afraid that you're going to be judged. That you're afraid that you're going to be looked down because you've done something wrong. Ain't none of us perfect. We've all sinned and come short, haven't we? We've all sinned. None of us will ever be perfect until our dying days. And we get that glorified body and we're in heaven, you know. Things will be set up pretty good then. But until right now, we're just humans. We're here in this old fleshly body. And we're just striving to do the best that we can. And the only way that we can do the best we can is through the Lord's direction. Through His guidance. That's my message this morning. I pray that the Lord will use it. Just help us to be forgiving. That's just my thought. Just think about that today. Forgiving, have a loving and forgiving heart. Would be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning. Anything else? Conference meeting tonight. Yes, it is. All that can and will, please come back tonight, 6 o'clock, for the business meeting. Anything at all? I know I've got this letter here. I'll go ahead and read this, if nothing else. It says, from Harvest Missionary Baptist Church, beginning Thursday, September 15th. At 7 o'clock, Harvest Missionary Baptist Church will hold its fall revival. It's going to run through Thursday through Sunday night, and it starts on September the 18th. Helping is Brother Wesley Woods and Brother Troy Ellis will be helping, assisting in that. So,
I'm going to practice the Christmas program after church.
I got that wrote down here and I covered it up. Yep. Christmas practice after service. Anything else? It starts September 15th, and it's Thursday through Sunday, I guess, 15th through the 18th. Start time, 7 o'clock. Anything else on anyone's heart? If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Thank you all for today.
Thank you.